Prime Minister Burnham arrived in Leningrad to a grand reception of the Soviet people. Leningrad, look on your map of the Soviet Union, to the north, the very top part of the map, just before you would go into Finland. Leningrad, the city of the namesake, victor of the revolution of October 1917, named after Vladimir Lenin. The city that held out bravely against the Nazi hordes for over 3 years. Surrounded by Nazis, without food or supplies, they were forced to eat their own dead. But they maintained their eternal vigilance against the oppressor. Losing better than half their population, they still overcame the Nazis. Leningrad is a beautiful city now, completely restored. The streets were lined with the flags of Guyana and pictures. Prime Minister Burnham, all through the areas which he was received, and the people received him with ovations, warm greetings of solidarity from the vanguard of liberation, the Soviet Union. Prime Minister will be in Leningrad today and will go on to Moscow tomorrow. Let us hope that the Prime Minister is able to find the accords there that will bring Guyana into the socialist orbit firmly and totally. In the past, it has been difficult for Soviet embassy officials to travel in the interior of Guyana. And as of 3:30 yesterday afternoon, they were not going to allow this prestigious representative of TASS and his wife to be our guest here in this beautiful communist society. But Dr. Mingo interfered personally with the gentleman in the foreign ministry that was hesitant in allowing a pass, an immigration pass. And Dr. Mingo asserted himself as a minister of home affairs and immigration and called up our guest personally, inviting them, clearing them to come to visit us. They were first refused because there are elements within this society that do not wish the Soviet Union to be able to see the beauty of this project. But Dr. Mingo moved all the hurdles. Another chap, also more important in the government, passed the case to him so he couldn't remove all the hurdles for the Soviet officials that are coming today. Correspondent representative of TASS. Further news of the day. It is by now no secret to many Guyanese that certain sections of the foreign press have often been deliberately utilized to spread incorrect and distorted images of Guyana and the developing socialism taking place within this country. During late 76 and early 1977, several foreign press organs, radio and TV organs, were used in a willful orchestrated effort to spread some of the most vicious rumors about Guyana to the outside world in an attempt, no doubt, to set the stage for destabilization, moves to overthrow this country. According to the New Nation, the official organ of the People's National Congress, ruling party of our beloved Guyana, since that period there has been a relatively noticeable lull in these activities. But judging from an article in Africa magazine, a London, England-based publication, perhaps partly owned by Rupert Murdoch, who started the press smear against us, it does seem as if these efforts are continuing, even though in a sporadic way. This article called Guyana, A Delicate Balance, written by a special correspondent has all the hallmarks of the type of distorted factual information which enemies of revolution and socialism in Guyana would seek to disseminate in the international communications media to mislead, create doubt, and cause confusion. The article, which touches on a wide cross-section of political and economic situations in Guyana, subtly attacks the government on, among other things, implementing a socialism based more on a form of nationalism than the Marxist concept of the doctrine. Those of us who are aware of our situation, said the new nation in Guyana, and of the general nature of transition from capitalism to socialism, may have some difficulty restraining ourselves from laughter at the absurdity. In fact, Marxist-Leninist theory has pointed out, stand by. In fact, Marxist-Leninist theory has pointed out that a state cannot advance from capitalism to socialism without transversing the grounds of state capitalism, national accounting, and control. In a truly revolutionary and democratic state, as is ours in Guyana, said the new nation, state capitalism implies a step more than one step forward towards socialism. In 1918, Lenin wrote, state capitalism is a complete material preparation for socialism, the threshold of socialism, a rung on the ladder of history between which the rung called socialism, there are no immediate rungs. The policies of government and its effort in implementing national accounting and control are well known. The Africa magazine, however, in an attempt to prop up his argument about state capitalism in Guyana, cites details to show that in recent government foreign policy, there's been an increasing rapprochement, peace that is, with the United States, and a corresponding cooling of relations with the Soviet bloc, which certainly does not seem to be apparent, at least this week, as the Prime Minister and his Foreign Minister and his Prime Minister's successor-to-be are presently in the Soviet Union being received wholeheartedly in friendship by the Soviet people, and will meet with President Brezhnev, the comrade leader of the Soviet Union, the vanguard, the only vanguard of Marxism and Leninism in the world. But the writer of the Africa magazine, in his smear, alleges that the cooling of relations with the Soviet bloc resulted from a refusal by the USSR to give aid to Guyana unless the PPP, Opposition Progressive People's Party, was given the opportunity to share the government of Guyana. Guyana, the writer states, must therefore look increasingly to the United States for aid to continue its state-capitalized policies. This cooling off of relations, according to the magazine Africa, with the Soviet bloc, is of course not accurate. It is widely known that the government's foreign policy is based on the principle of non-alignment, and also that we have received aid from the United States, and also that aid received from the United States or any other country is utilized for the development of Guyana and Guyanese and not for state-capitalized policies. People's National Congress Party and government has long made it clear that Guyana will not accept aid tied to conditions barring necessary financial and monetary arrangements that will allow corporate interest of monopoly capitalism to reintroduce itself inside Guyana. The writer of Africa magazine touched on the pledge of loyalty to the government by the Guyana Defense Force only insofar as to insinuate that this pledge of loyalty may be a decisive factor in determining the outcome of the general elections due this year. In this subtle attack on the integrity of the government of Guyana and the Defense Force, it is described as predominantly black, an appeal to racism. The writer alleges that the government has been unable to be totally convincing in its socialist ideals. The sole example given to support this charge is a refusal by the government to employ Working People Alliance activist Dr. Walter Rodney at the University of Guyana. Judging from most of the content of A Delicate Balance, it became obvious that the writer is either completely ignorant of the situation in Guyana under the leadership of the People's National Congress, or was simply bent on distorting facts on situations in Guyana to suit his own ends. The publication of such an article in Africa magazine is certainly either a poor reflection on the judgment of the editorial board of that magazine or a sad oversight on their part. As publishers of a responsible magazine, they should seek to ensure that whatever is published in its pages is an accurate reflection of the truth. Stand by. Reference to our doctor. We are still negotiating the outcome of our doctor. As you are well aware, we are not accepting of any local medical society's efforts to bring our doctor in from our people. We are not prepared to accept such a request, even though our opposition does not seem to be necessarily one at a governmental level on this subject. It appears to be more a threatening feeling by local medical personnel. Nonetheless, we will not accept any demand that removes our doctor. That's unacceptable, and so yesterday the negotiations were not settled and were postponed indefinitely. There was no pressure about bringing him in at this point, and they asked us to go to see if we could not find some working compromise. Our working compromise was a two-week period for consultations, and then to live under consultations through doctor by radio from Georgetown, his consultant, his preceptor, and consultation with doctors on the net, the medical net over our radio, which we talk all night, and he's often spent hours in getting preparations for specialized medical needs within our community. Kit Nascimento, known CIA, in collusion with Stone, who tried our first patients to the threadbare, almost to the bone, as he brought people in here to harass and to try to make arrest orders upon myself and George Touche, is leaving the country. He's moving to New York City to a post of little significance in communications connected with the consul in New York City, not even the main embassy of Guyana in Washington. Allegedly, he is leaving Guyana because his wife is ill. We all know the spurious Kit Nascimento, who is a minister of state in the office of the prime minister. We know him. We know for his ugliness, his arrogance. He is an East Indian mixed with white, who is arrogantly pro-USA. And no doubt, his move to the United States is for that reason and not the illness of his wife. At least it could bear a good sign that the likes of his trash, who was the man that was in charge of the country, and all of the good gentlemen that we have looked to with respect, such as the Prime Minister, particularly the Deputy Prime Minister, Dr. Ptolemy Reed, the head of the PNC, while they were there signing the Panamanian Treaty. This slippery bastard tried to actually destroy us and take over this country and let the forces of reaction even come in here. But we resisted, running our children into the woods, keeping them there, and we resisted even their armed invasion and won successfully. It is good to know that Kit Nascimento has left the country permanently, evil minister of state. So let us hope that what the foreign minister is saying, that there indeed will be a shift to the left, and what the Soviet Union told us last week, that shift is moving on to socialism, and we have nothing to concern ourselves about. And even Cuba, who offered us refuge, ostensibly, seeing no problems if we were to confront a reactionary takeover here, that they would give us refuge, asylum, they too feel that the country will not move away from socialism, but merely just to delayed elections because of concerns about the opposition and its racist policies in the past. Cuba also seemed to be much more sensitive to the PNC, the black leadership here, than it did the opposition party under Dr. Chetty Jagan, PPP leader, because Cuba said something to indicate the Cuban embassy that they were not that fond of him, and they did not say anything critical of the government or the People's National Congress. The gentleman coming, remember, must be well received, cordially received. The head of TASS, a newsman, TASS correspondent, the largest newspaper in the world. TASS representative will be here, and his wife, sometime this evening. We want to all be sure that we are at our best in our appearance, in our presentation of warmth, in our salute of the working class solidarity, the uprise fist, show unity and cordiality, smiling, willing work, no difficulties. Anyone giving difficulties during this period will get more than the usual discipline. Anyone causing difficulties during this period will indeed get more than the usual discipline. The Guyana Chronicle calls South Africa the pariah among nations. As it brought out another incident of mass slaughter that had been done by the Nationalist Party under the evil John Worcester, who took office after the elections of 1948. It goes into some detail showing the debauchery of the corporations, U.S. corporations, how they've even sent money from the corporations to help the police in torture methods against black comrades, our black brothers and sisters in Africa. I would think no one would miss the United States. The more you read, the more news you hear, the more aware you are of the evil, the insidious evil of the system. Stand by. Chronicle speaks of the friendship of the German Democratic Republic, the communist free Germany, made a significant contribution of libraries to the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement. The large library of books were presented by Comrade Boyle Ramsarup, president of the society, and received on behalf of the organization by Comrade Maureen Bacchus, confidential secretary to the national chairman of the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement, who is the wife of the Prime Minister, Comrade Viola Burnham, at the organization's headquarters, Public Road Kitty. The library, all German Democratic publications were Women and Socialism, Equal Rights for Women, Development of the Socialist State in the GDR, Helsinki, What Next, What is Working Internationally Owned Enterprise Like, Meeting of the Judicial Subcommission of the International Commission of Inquiry into the Crimes of the Military Junta in Chile, Worked Internationally Owned Factory, USSR, the Soviet Union, 25 years of cooperation in science and technology with the German Democratic Republic. The total number of volumes presented were over 30. Gesture of friendship and goodwill from the German Democratic Communist Republic to Guyana. Recipient of the gift was the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement, by the leader of the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement, Comrade Burnham, Viola Burnham, the wife of the Prime Minister. The Guyana Chronicle stated, article of this week, it took capitalism and imperialism nearly four centuries to create the world's largest colonial empires, while their collapse occurred within some two or three decades. The victory of the peoples of Indochina, and the aid given by the Soviet Liberation Forces, the fall of the former Portuguese colony racist bastion in South Africa, in Angola, the proclamation of independence of Guinea-Bissau, Mozambique, and Angola, as I said, the decolonization of a number of islands, territories in the Pacific and Indian Oceans, as well as the Caribbean, have tolled the knell of colonialism on our planet. The end has come. What lies at the heart of this process of the Guyana Chronicle? Why has it accelerated so rapidly? What force has generated the powerful wave of anti-colonialism, U.S. style, in the face of which imperialism has proved powerless? The sources of that world historic process undoubtedly are to be traced to the unforgettable days in October 1917, which shook the world. The great October Socialist Revolution in the Soviet Union brought about radical changes in the world. It involved the broadest masses in Asia, Africa, and Latin America in the common struggle against imperialism. From the reliable rear of the capitalist metropolis, the colonies turned into an active revolutionary force for social renewal of the world, said the Guyana Chronicle, organ of the PNC. We had a marvelous article yesterday that covered a half page in the Guyana Chronicle, by the way, about our project and how the people gave standing ovations and stood on the edge of their seats. Went into detail after detail after detail about our performance. That was one of our demands of the White Knight. According to the Guyana Chronicle, in the great schism brought about by the October Revolution, the National Liberation Movement found itself on the same side of the barricades as the international working class. Having awakened to political life, the peoples of Asia, Africa, and Latin America have become real participants in the social restructuring of the world, introducing in this process their characteristic features, their drive and passion, because the many millions of formerly unhistorical peoples became involved in the historical process. The World Revolutionary Liberation Movement received a great impetus, and the national movements acquired international significance. The Russian working class, in alliance with the peasantry and led by the Communist Party, inflicted the first major defeat on world capitalism, said the Guyana Chronicle, the organ of the People's National Congress that rules Guyana in its government. Thereby it fulfilled its supreme international duty before the working class of the world and the national liberation movement. Vladimir Lenin's idea of the alliance of anti-imperialist forces became a political reality. The national liberation movement became an international struggle and part and parcel of revolutionary social renewal of all humanity. As a result of the great October Socialist Revolution in Russia, the Socialist and National Liberation Revolutions have merged, opening up real prospects of freedom for the oppressed nations. Vladimir Lenin wrote in this connection that the idea of the alliance of the international working class and the National Liberation Revolutions had now moved into a new and practical plane. Immediately upon its birth, the land of the Soviets extended a helping hand to the colonial peoples everywhere. Soviet political, diplomatic, military, and economic aid to the peoples fighting for their freedom and independence created a basically new situation in the national liberation areas. A few concrete facts of history will give an idea of the role of the Soviet state in the development of the national liberation movements. It goes on and shows throughout the entire history since the October 1917 revolution that the Soviet Union, according to the Guyana Chronicle, has been in the anti-imperialist struggle consistently as it waged the liberation of China, Mongolia, Afghanistan, Turkey, attempted revolution there. Every place, the military and political results of the Second World War, 1939 to 1945, actually won the impact, the tremendous impact on the destinies of the colonial and dependent peoples. The defeat of the Nazis, according to the Guyana Chronicle, and the Japanese militarist was primarily due to the bulwark force of the people of the Soviet Union. It drastically changed the socio-political balance of the world in favor of the forces of peace, socialism, democracy, and progress. Then it went on to show, the article is very long, how the Soviet Union was bravely in the battle to defeat militarists in Japan. It was moving to the right, the Soviet Communist Party there. It also recalled in North Korea and Manchuria how liberation was brought by Soviet troops who defeated the Kwantung Army and smashed the colonial administrative apparatus, which was a key instrument in enslaving the masses of Korea. Took it on down to the very day in which Vietnam, the struggle of Vietnam, Korea, Philippine Islands, everywhere where the forces of social justice are emerging, you find the great vanguard of liberation, the Soviet Union, the true mother of the revolution of October 1917, and the greatest Marxist-Leninist practitioner in the world, have always consistently, according to the Guyana Chronicle, been on the part, on the side of the people struggling for liberation everywhere. A good article. We need to go to the New Nation and ask them for their whole series of articles on plantain power. It's been disclosed that plantain has all sorts of rich prospects, and we could certainly find it has almost full nutritional value for eating. A person could almost live off of it. And Comrade Payne, I believe it was, W.I., series by U.W.L. Payne, Tommy Payne, takes a historical look at the origin, growth, and potential for development of the plantain industry to meet both local consumption and tremendous health derivatives from it, health needs, and also as a viable export commodity. It should be looked into. The Guyana Chronicle refers to it, and we should go back to the People's National Congress's party organ, the New Nation. It said it was in Sunday, March 19th, and several Sunday installments before that. Stand by. Racial strife has increased in Harlem due to the cutback of welfare. A great deal of racial disruption is taking place in Harlem at this moment. The war in Vietnam, Cambodia, formerly known as Cambodia, look at your map, is still continuing. Unfortunately, China has become a renegade almost of capitalism in its foreign policy. Even though it had a good domestic policy, it has joined with the forces of reactionary USA in trying to impose its will upon the free people of Vietnam. War is going on now in the territory of Vietnam. Since Cambodia, heavily armed, heavily aided and equipped with military advanced weapons, have moved in to the parameters of Vietnam, have moved in some 30 miles inside their territory. The Soviet Union has given a warning to China to pull back her troops from the border. There have been border skirmishes. The Soviet Union has given an also clear warning that China had better get out of the arena of Southeast Asia, trying to incite difficulties again in Indochina. The Soviet Union has also sent a warning to Washington to get out of this situation as soon as she can possibly extricate herself. The implication of the note, according to BBC, is that the Soviet Union will be sending military assistance, and then again we'll have a major confrontation between the superpowers, and those kind of things can lead to nuclear war within hours. We've been walking the tightrope of nuclear hell for years. No wonder The Children of the Damned is a movie that all should see and ought to be shown again tonight, because they'll be late in coming. You ought to study The Children of the Damned in Africa, a film on Africa, just to see the beauty of the countryside and to see how white America thinks about black America, how its racist attitude is so clearly seen in all of its Hollywood productions. By that time, late in the evening, our Soviet guest and his wife should have arrived. This is very, very important. We have it as beautiful as possible. Tomorrow we'll include our brief work time. Then we'll have a program probably in the afternoon. Then we'll have perhaps an agricultural session in the evening. More program. Speech from our Soviet guest. But a very good musical program. We should include some new talent, such as Comrade Fitch, Don Fitch's wife. She's a good singer. Get some new voices that have not been heard to show them that we have. He was very impressed by our show, but he saw our show himself. Remember, it was a good breakthrough that he was allowed here because he was refused until we found out that we were the ones requesting him to come. Then all the barriers were lifted. Dr. Bingo, who's been our liaison official with the government, personally called him up. First time he'd received a personal call from a cabinet minister at 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday and cleared the way for him to come ahead. So that's a bolder stand than we have been noting heretofore in reference to allowing the Soviet guests to come into their interior. I don't think that the government is afraid of the Soviet in the interior, but they're afraid of what the United States feels every time Soviet officials go in the interior. There's a lot of news about some Cuban buildup or some Soviet buildup anytime Soviet or Cuban officials are traveling anywhere in the interior of South American countries. Stand by. As you know, we must be extremely careful to be alert, and we are. We are on readiness alert in the highest sense. We know the young lady, Ann Jones. All are to get to know Ann Jones. All people who have any problems, it could be the subject of kidnapping. As you know, an article appeared, which our publisher friend, I think, was trying to give us a subtle hint. An article appeared in the news in USA that they were resorting to mercenaries. They would resort to mercenaries. One family decided to resort to mercenaries who would take by force, dead or alive, the parties they wanted. We have nothing to fear. They will take none of us, dead or alive. But we will have to be on readiness alert because mercenaries will kill to do anything in their power to get who they want. So we'll all have to be alert to anyone being on our property. And believe me, there are people who can reach out and protect you 2,000 yards all around the area. So there's nothing for you to have fear. But all should be alert. All should look around. All should look up as they walk to see if they see any body, any unknown persons, any unfamiliar faces, any movement out in the tree regions, all around. All should be alert. And none should be out of their area because mercenaries are murderers who kill for hire. It didn't even say in the news article, kidnappers. Didn't even say they would use private detectives. It openly stated that they would hire mercenaries. We know that Oliver has employed some, the black sellout Oliver family, to get our kids, the Jackson kids. But Bruce is on his way back on the boat now. So he's safe. We know this mercenary has been hired by Louis Ponce's husband and family, Jack Bean Jr., all those who have received money from the conspiracy because they couldn't afford anything. A mercenary won't do a job for about $25,000 by the time he got here and all of his provisions. And he didn't say they would hire a mercenary. They would hire mercenaries, more than one of the murderers. So we will be aware, awake, and alert. We've informed the government, and they're taking precautions. We are taking all sorts of precautions. Do not be outside of your area. That is an order from the office. Stand by.
Stand by. You said 50 miles, right? 50 miles from Matthews Ridge? 60?
As you know, the Prime Minister... minister will be traveling on to North Korea, who have been very friendly and also wish to visit us. Their embassy has been very, very appreciative of our program. They were at our celebration, our entertainment show at the Cultural Center. They also are going to visit us, as I said. The Prime Minister, after visiting the Soviet Union, will go on to North Korea, where he hopes to lend his voice to the prospects of peaceful reunification of Korea, which seem rather remote, according to the news at this point in time. The reason being, according to a release issued from the embassy of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in Ghana, is the divide and rule tactics being employed by U.S. imperialist powers. It was pointed out in the release that the reunification of Korea is a unanimous desire and aspiration of the entire Korean and peace-loving people of the world over. The release, however, noted that following the announcement of the Nixon doctrine of the U.S. ruling circles, openly pushed ahead with the two Koreas idea in real earnest early in the 1970s, the United States, the release continued, zealously encouraged the South Korean fascist authorities to take the road of the split, not reunification. Subsequently, the South Korean authorities immediately proceeded to practice the two Koreas plot. All reasonable and realistic proposals advanced by the People's Democratic Republic of Communist Korea, North Korea, to the South Korean fascist authorities were dismissed forthwith, until eventually, according to the Guyana Chronicle, the South Korea, in a so-called special statement, announced to the world the policy of freezing and perpetuating the division of that beloved country where the peoples want to be free and live under the great Democratic People's Republic of Korea, now confined to North Korea, the communist liberated zone. Okay. The release in the Guyana Chronicle further stated that by perpetuating the division of Korea, the United States intends that South Korea remain as a colony and a military base indefinitely, thus realizing its domination of Asia and the world with South Korea as a stronghold. At the present stage, according to the Guyana Chronicle, the release said the Buddhists are trying to create an international climate for rigging up two Koreas through the cross-recognition of North and South Korea, which could therefore legalize the division of the Korean nation through the United Nations. The November 22 issue of the Yoromiya Shimbun, a Japanese publication, reported that a high-ranking official who accompanied former President of the United States, Gerald Ford, on his Far Eastern tour, said that the United States was ready to negotiate with North Korea if the socialist countries expressed their readiness to recognize South Korea as a state and have negotiations permanently with that fascist puppet regime in South Korea. Stand by. Attention. Attention. Had to break away for a moment of instructions. It's all right for the boat crew to leave at the hours they requested. Be sure to have chairs on the wagon for the Soviet guests to receive them. We also have new people arriving, as you know. Edith Parks, Dale's sister, Jerry and Pat's daughter, and her boyfriend, a new young man. There's some others, perhaps, I'm not familiar, I haven't been able to keep in contact, because we've got so many situations to eliminate, some crisis to overcome every day and every night, as is typical of this place. But the prospects of us growing, expanding, building in peace are better than ever. I think the tone of the news is encouraging. In the Guyana Chronicle, I think the tone of the articles that I've given you, a cross-section of the Guyana Chronicle, the largest newspaper, our own article I'll try to read to you, it's too long, it's half page, praising us yesterday for our performance. It was the critical word in there about our performance. It was dictated and really accepted in the raw form that I presented it. It's polished up, but it's very, very good. Very, very good article. Excellent article. And that was one of our demands of the White Knight. We insisted that we be covered. If our entertainment was desired, that it be covered. The fact that they are openly allowing us Soviet guests, prospects that our school will be legalized the 21st. Delegation of our teachers are going in tomorrow by the boat. The boat has to leave. Well, late Sunday night. The fact that that still seems to be on is highly encouraging. We certainly hope so anyway. They have promised and assured that it will be. We've had no further news of any difficulties. Things seem to be moving rather smoothly at this point. They always do more smoothly, it appears, when the acting Prime Minister is Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed is in charge of the country right at this moment, while the Prime Minister and his delegation is visiting the Soviet Union and Korea. Anyway, I was giving you some article of the position of North Korea. They're going to be visiting us, Cuba, as you know, Soviet Union and Yugoslavia. They may be in early this evening. It is thought that perhaps it's going to take 21 hours, that they will be in early this evening. So if that is the case, that will change our plans a little bit. There'd have to be some entertainment. There's rehearsal tonight. There'd have to be some entertainment, depending upon their arrival time. There could be some music reception and food prepared. It is now, I understand, the thought that they could be in by 6 o'clock, meaning they would be here by 7, thus meaning that we'd have to have some entertainment. I would gather that that was the case. So I suspect that the band ought to also prepare if it needs to practice. 4 o'clock, they ought to do some rehearsal themselves. At 4 o'clock, that ought to give you time enough. At 4 o'clock, we can't lose production. Please, the rest of you, pick up, step up production. You're killing those that want to be freed if you don't. We've got to get our people while we can. I can only take them as I see our production goals being met in that term. I have to watch our pennies to the very bare bone to assure that I'll never take people in a situation that I can't feed indefinitely. So please step up production, have good reports prepared for your meeting. We will have a determination of those coming off the learning crew tonight. It's important that we get a progress report so I can give the learning department some encouragement. We've not had a regular kind of meeting series, and thus no room for discussion of those in learning. Anyone to go to learning from work will have to be brought to my attention, all reports negative and positive, by this evening, so that I can make some disposition as to who would come off learning tonight, even though we'll not have a regular agricultural meeting. It can be done, however, when we're going to have a discussion with one young man, Bruce Oliver Jackson. When he arrives, there has to be, at some later point, to meet with him. All right. It's about time to go back to work in another few minutes. We hope you've gained something from the news. Situation in Ethiopia remains unchanged. The Somalians have attacked at the border, but they are being resisted permanently, being thoroughly. The Soviet Union has said, backed up the statement of the Ethiopian people that they will indeed invade Somalia. The next time, they said they'll fight these wars on Somalian territories as they're the aggressor. As you know, China is also backing Somalia now and entertaining the right-wing president in Beijing at this very moment. Guyana also has a remarkable article on the military-industrial complex, an unholy alliance, the military-industrial complex of the United States, translated from the Russian by Yuri Sobdovnikov, published by the Progress Publishers, 1977, hardcover, 187 pages, price $2.90, available at the People's Bookstore, 131 Albert and Crown Streets, Georgetown. The book by a Soviet writer is about a subject that has been exercising the minds of not only thinking people in the United States, but thinking people all over the world. It is about the unholy alliance and close cooperation of U.S. big business and the military establishment, an alliance that has done much harm to the people of that country. This alliance is a comparatively new factor in American life, for it only came into being during the Second World War and has rapidly developed and expanded since then. Again, you see, this is a writing of the Guyana Chronicle, PNC. Definitely pro-Soviet tone is noted in the news in the last few days. Let's hope it remains. But we will remain because we have the will. 1,000 strong can negotiate any situation. We can never be hurt from without, only from within. United we stand, divided we will fall. As long as we're united, no one can hurt us. And what do we have to lose but our chains? Fear has no dominion over us that have been emancipated by the socialist revolution. Anyway, the author clearly sustains that there is a major alliance, combination of the major monopolies engaged in the mass production of the most modern types and systems of horrifying warfare weapons. Many of the monopolies, writes the Soviet writer, emerged in the post-war period and belongs to the young groupings of capital. What is particularly interesting about this alliance, the military-industrial complex, as it is called, even the nation was warned against it by Eisenhower, is that it has caused concern as much to those who were a part of it as to those against whom it was and is directed. It was in fact the late President Eisenhower who, in his farewell speech in Washington in January 61, said the conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, said President Eisenhower, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower's outlook and sympathies were decidedly bourgeoisie and capitalistic, and he certainly regarded the military-industrial complex, like so many others of the bourgeoisie and scholars, as controllable. He was aware, however, of the power and corruption which such an alliance necessarily entailed, and his fears were reflected in such words as grave implications and unwarranted influence. Well, the Soviet article in the PNC's journal goes on to show just how deep it has reached into the very control of unions, business, and banking life of USA. In fact, the concluding sentence, as we now go back to work, is that the military-industrial complex, the unholy alliance, has now taken over all phases of the economic life of the United States. That's the end of news, reading commentary. Let us step up production. Get the fly swatters out. I want to see everybody with fly swatter. Those not using fly swatters will be reported and get a learning warning. Two learning warnings, we go to learning discipline. If we're not producing, remember, we'll make a decision tonight's meeting as to who gets off of learning and who goes on to learning. All I can say is we've got much to gain by the visitor of this distinguished Soviet guest and his wife, task correspondent, the largest newspaper in the world. Be at your best. Produce now heavily. Be at your best. I do love you with all my heart.